An essential part of the treatment of the obsessive compulsive is getting him to accept his own sexuality, which invariably has an extremely sadistic and/or masochistic character. If the obsessive compulsive does not accept his sexuality, there will be a continuation in him of the alienatedness of thought from feeling that is responsible for OCD. And if he does accept his sexuality, this will effectuate an OCD eliminative reconciliation of thought and feeling. Let me put these points into context. All mental illness involves some kind of withdrawal from reality. But there are two different ways of withdrawing from reality, and thus two different kinds of mental illness. There are mental illnesses that effectuate this withdrawal by destroying the coherence of one's ideation. These are known as psychoses. And there are mental illnesses that effectuate this withdrawal not by diminishing the coherence of one's thinking, but by paralyzing one's will. These are known as neuroses. Neuroses do not destroy the coherence of one's thought. Or rather, they do not destroy the coherence of one's intellection, that is, of one's mental activity so far as it is concerned with the discerning of logical relations. But there is a respect in which they diminish the coherence of one's mentation. They estrange intellection from its ordinary emotional concomitance. So the neurotic can think, and he can also feel, but his thoughts are alienated from his feelings, the result being that his will is weakened. And the reason for this weakening of will is that, as philosophers have long known, action is not solely about thought, nor solely about feeling, but about the two operating jointly and symbiotically. And in the neurotic, this symbiosis has been disrupted. In the psychotic, this symbiosis has not been disrupted, but the psychotic's intellection is incoherent, so that even though his will is intact, it is led on so many fool's errands by his compromised powers of reasoning. OCD is a neurosis, not a psychosis, and the obsessive-compulsive's intellection is coherent, nay, hypercoherent. Indeed, it is made hypercoherent by the fact that it is estranged from the usual emotional concomitance of thought and can thus pursue its own course without being weighed down by the usual emotional resistances. But the obsessive-compulsive's will is as atrophied as his intellect is hypertrophied, and for the very same reason, this being the just-mentioned alienatedness of thought from feeling. And the restoration of the obsessive-compulsive's personality consists entirely in restoring this thought-feeling balance. And this is done by doing two things. First, by finding a profession for the obsessive-compulsive that is congenial to him and that enables him to flourish without his having to perform the impossible feat of changing his own psychological architecture. Second, by reconciling him to his own sexuality, which, precisely because his affect and therewith his sexuality is so alienated from and is thus not tempered by his judgment, assumes particularly extreme forms and, consequently, assumes particularly sadistic or masochistic forms. And the reintegration of his sexuality is accomplished by reconciling him to his urges and getting him to cease to regard them as abominations. And the truth is that the obsessive-compulsive sexuality is no more abominable than anyone else's. It only seems that way because in him, the sadistic and masochistic undercurrents of human sexuality are exposed, owing to the fact that his sexuality has not been absorbed into the usual narratives and rationalizations. And the reason for this non-absorption is that the thought-feeling balance responsible for these narratives and rationalizations has been disrupted. Be it noted that the obsessive-compulsive, having as he does a strong and intact conscience, never actually carries out acts that are actually, as opposed to symbolically, sadistic or masochistic. So there is no danger in reconciling him to his own sadism or masochism.